All I can say is that was over too quickly. Those beautiful voices, the singing today, uplifting. But Christ is in our hearts. For those of us who have believed and accepted him as our Lord and Savior, he not only gives us hope for eternity, he gives us strength and hope and life on this side of heaven. Looking for the Master. Many people are looking in all the wrong places for that which they really, really desire. Some people say, well, I have to find out what I'm all about. I have to find out and discover myself. You know what? You will never discover yourself unless you discover that Jesus Christ is alive and that he is part of your life, or you invite him to be part of your life. Years ago, I was in a dilemma. And this happens to young and old. You know, we often say that as we get older, we become forgetful. But it happens to us younger ones too. I was frantically looking for checks that I had made ready to be deposited in our bank account. And I found all the other papers, but I couldn't find that one important check. I mean, you start to think of the loss. If I can't find this check, I don't have the money. I can't deposit it in the bank. So I went to, this was in California, I went to the preschool director and said, can you pray with me? I really need your prayers here. And so we prayed together. And then I was amazed that I found the check in a book. And I had no idea how in the world I had put that check in a book. See, I had looked at all the wrong places. We used to say to our sons, you can see a lot by looking. And this is so true with Easter and so true with the Christian faith. In our text, we see that these women that came to the grave on Easter morning, they were looking for a dead body. They had prepared the spices. They had expectations to find the dead body in the grave where they had seen him put to rest. Now, they didn't plan very well because on the way, while they were walking and they came closer to the grave, one said to the other, who is going to roll the stone away from the entrance of the grave? They wondered how they were going to do it. Maybe they hoped that a gardener would be there. They hoped that they could maybe have their own strength to roll the stone and away from the door so they could go in and see the dead body that they were looking for. And then in verse 5 in Luke chapter 24, this very, very powerful, thought-provoking question is raised by the two men, the two angels that were at the grave. When they found the grave open and these two men were there, they simply asked them this question, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Why have you come to the grave if the one that you're looking for is alive? I asked myself, what would have happened if these two women had found the body of Jesus? Would that have helped their grief? Would that have helped their loss? Excuse me. Now, the initial report about the resurrection is interesting. I want you to go to John chapter 20. I won't read the whole passage there, but This is what Mary Magdalene experienced. She had gone to the tomb. She found the tomb empty. She had heard the angels speak to her. But she came back to Simon Peter. Remember the one that had denied Jesus? And she said this to him. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. That was the first Easter message. A distorted report. To Mary Magdalene, this was the truth. This was the fact. She tried to put two and two together and said, this is logic. The tomb is empty. I know his body was laid in the tomb, and now the body isn't there. So someone has taken away the body. Someone has misplaced the corpse that I was looking for. To these women, to Mary Magdalene, Jesus was dead indeed. This is how people live their lives today, as if Jesus is dead. And some that call themselves Christians have that same idea. They have taken away the body. I know the grave is empty, but I can't find the body of my master. Let's invoke a little bit of apologetics here. I want you to know this Easter Sunday, truth stands on its own. Some of us, we have the attitude we need to stand for truth. We need to defend the truth. We don't have to defend the truth. The truth stands on its own. It's up to us whether we believe it or not. Now, there is a lot of this going around in our day and time. Well, you know, truth is relative. It depends. What is true for one person may not be true for another person. Loved ones, if that is the Easter message, we're in big trouble. Because if for some of us Christ is risen and for some of us he is dead, just a disappeared body, then the message is very mixed and confusing. The benefits of believing and the consequences of denying truth follow everywhere, everyone on either side. If someone says, to me, Jesus was just another prophet and not the Savior or Son of God, then you might say, well, that's the truth to that person, and for that person it is truth. No, for that person it is still a lie, because Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is risen from the dead. Why do I say that? Because he lives in me. He's got to be a lie. Or I wouldn't sense this. I wouldn't have what I have. So for Mary, she thought, she simply stated the facts. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. I can't find the master. But Christ's strength is not reduced or threatened by our weaknesses. Let's remember that. His love is not reduced because of my lack of it. The power of his resurrection is not weakened by my mortality and my lack of understanding of eternal life. His wisdom is not shaken by my unbelief and foolishness. What we see in this story of this distorted report by Mary is that it was quickly believed. You know, lies can quickly pick up and be believed. A distorted view, a wrong teaching can quickly find followers. Peter and John came to the tomb and they saw it was empty. And in light of Mary's words, Mary insisted on they have taken them away. I know someone has stolen. We need to blame someone for this empty tomb. And it says here that Peter and John initially believed it. John chapter 20 verse 8. Why did they believe it? Why did they believe the lie? It is explained in verse 9. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. We believe all kinds of lies at times because we don't fully understand the scriptures. We may understand the letter of the law. We may understand, this is what was taught to me in Sunday school, and this is what I heard all my life. But we may not understand it spiritually, because the word of God is powerful. It is spirit and life. So I ask you this morning, do you understand the scriptures of the living, resurrected Lord? You will never understand it unless you experience salvation and redemption through Jesus Christ. Our spiritual eyes must be opened, and that can only happen when we commit to the Lord. Yes, they were puzzled. After all, they said, Mary, I guess you're right. They must have taken the body away. Oftentimes we give in to others, what others are saying to us. We may even give in to gossip and believe it as if it's the word of God. Somebody tells us something. But loved ones, we need to always remember, with God, all things are possible. Why do you seek the living among the dead? In their hopelessness, these women searched for the dead body. Why come to the grave? They wanted to come to give Jesus a proper burial. They wanted to do something for the dead body of Jesus. But God had something completely different and much better in mind. The stone was too big. The grief, the pain was too difficult to overcome. And I think they were driven by grief. They were driven by this depression and this sadness that had overcome their hearts. And in the Easter story and those first witnesses, we learn great lessons for our faith. You too, you and me, will get through depression, anxiety, whatever it is that we experience. But we need to remember that does not change reality. That does not change the truth that Christ is there yesterday, today, the same forevermore. He is alive. And I can trust him today. I may have failed yesterday. I may have failed last week. I may have failed like Peter. I may have fallen. But Christ is there to receive me back, because he's alive and he's forgiving. He's merciful. If you are overcome with grief, could you imagine? I want to ask this again. If they would have found the dead body of Jesus, Would it have helped their grief? Would they have been truly comforted, truly come alive and joyful? Yes, we're so glad they would have skipped and jumped home. We could anoint the body of Jesus and now we can finally have closure. That's not the closure they needed, and that's not the closure we need. Because the grave couldn't keep Jesus. Because he was the Son of God. And it was the power of God that reached down and brought his body back alive, back to life. So the angels encountered the women. And in John chapter 20, it talks about Mary and the two angels. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" Well, there are many reasons why people cry. We cry because of pain. We cry because of sadness and loss. We grieve about a loved one that has passed away. We cry sometimes out of self-pity. We feel sorry for ourselves. The angel spoke to Mary and says, "Why are you crying?" And she said, repeated the lie again. You see, the more you repeat the lie, the better chance is you will believe it. And she talked herself into it. She said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she said this, repeating that lie again, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, stood right beside her. And he greeted her and says, "Woman, why are you crying? Easter is not about weeping and crying. Easter is about life and joy and hope. Whom are you seeking? What are you looking for? Who are you looking for? I'm looking for my master. I'm looking for my dead master." But here, the live, the living Lord and Master was in front of her. And she didn't recognize him. She's still in her disbelief and her fogginess of thinking and hopelessness and grief. She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, and I love this, "Mary." And the way he said it, and looking at her, she knew. This is the master that I'm looking for. He's right here. He's alive. He's not dead. He takes all hopelessness away. He heals all my grief. He heals me from all my sorrows. He is here. He is alive. Those thoughts went through Mary's mind. This is what needs to get through our minds and through our emotions and hearts today. When you look at hopelessness, you can't cope anymore. The resurrected Lord calls you by your name, Mary. I'm here. It's all okay. Your hope is still there. If you have been discouraged in serving the Lord, if you have been discouraged in your spiritual life, I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus knows you by name. He speaks to you today. He knows you so well that you'd be surprised what he wants to do with your life. You can stop grieving. You can stop crying. You can stop feeling sorry for yourself. You can bring everything to him and he will heal you. He will make you a new person. The resurrected Lord is in our midst. You believe that? Why are many today seeking the living among the dead? Someone wrote this, "Many people approach life with the same expectations that these women did. It is like a long walk toward death. Every day is another step closer to the tombs. In their minds, the ultimate destination is the place of the dead." Just as those women sorrowfully walked through the early morning mist, people today sadly walk through the mist of life. People seek comfort in worldly things, in everyday life, in the material things, in food, in cults, in political movements, in possessions, in money. We seek life sometimes in dead social programs, in clubs, in secret societies. And yes, we even tend to seek the living in dead church programs that are no longer alive by the Spirit of God. This is what Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 and 3 says. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this. Now mind you, this was Jesus Christ saying this through the apostle. I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. What does Jesus say to this church in Sardis? You have a lot of dead programs. You have a lot of things that look like they are alive, but they are dead indeed. And you need to wake up and strengthen the things. Why? Because Jesus is vibrant and alive, and we need to act like it. We need to have the attitude of it and the faith of it. Therefore, if you do not wake up, he says, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Loved ones, if we are seeking the living among dead works, going through the motions, you heard that before, right? We're not living up to the Easter message. We need to be alive in Christ. He has so much more for us. And we should become enthusiastic about living for Christ. He is risen, and he is risen indeed. Let's prove it to the world that Christ lives in us. As Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Don't look at the wrong places, but be focused on the things of God. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that is the Easter message today. Let's not look in the wrong places. Find the Master where he is and go with him. He knows us by name. He will see us through. God bless you. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord, today, as we celebrate your resurrection, we are so humbly thankful that it is you that has made us alive in Christ. That it was your Spirit that convicted us of sin at the day of our conversion, that we came to you and you gave us the new birth and new life. And Lord, this morning we've heard a lot about you being alive and you being crucified for us. You brought the sacrifice so that we could have life. And yes, it was necessary to fulfill all the scriptures. And Lord, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to understand the scriptures and embrace the truth. Yes, we may be weak and we may feel hopeless at times, but you are still alive and you will always be there. Help us not to miss the mark. Help us not to miss the goal. And I pray for those that may not be right with you and may have lost courage and encouragement, Lord, that you would set afire hearts with enthusiasm and seeking your face with all their hearts. We pray for those that have been bombarded with suffering and pain and agony, Lord, and where Satan has bombarded them with all kinds of thoughts and false information, Lord, we pray that you would clear their minds and emotions. They would be able to look up to you and hear you call them by name. We thank you for this. We worship you, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the resurrected one, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.